Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If this ministry has touched your life in any way, contact us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook or by emailing us at bfwcgeorgetown@gmail.com. Feel free to share your prayer requests or comments. We hope you enjoy today's message. Blessings to you and yours.
Isaiah 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17. How many of you here are ready to learn to be bulletproof? I didn't say where no bullets could get you. I just said bulletproof, where you get hit, but you're still standing. How many of you know the enemy knows right where to hit you at sometimes? And it's not there to take you out. It's actually there to take you up. I dare you to look at somebody and say, it's not meant to take me out. The word says we're more than overcomers. We're the head and not the tail. So when the enemy comes after you, obviously doing something right. I dare you to look at somebody and say, I'm doing something right, or the devil wouldn't be working at me. Come on, y'all ain't saying nothing right now. Amen? How many of you tonight realize that if you wasn't a threat, he wouldn't mess with you? But we've got to learn to actually get ourselves to a place like the word says, that having done all, we still stand no matter what comes. Because if we are more than conquerors, then we need to be what we are. Amen. Look at somebody and say, are you? Now say it nicely. Some of y'all kind of gave him the smirk when you did that. No, be nice and just say, we are. Amen. How many of you in Isaiah 54, verse 17? You're there, give me a loud amen, because I know it's on the screen behind me, and I hope you guys are ready tonight. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been in this series, and tonight I said I'm going to take a break from wearing the bulletproof vest. Because y'all know last week I was in a bulletproof vest, and I was in boots, and you know how pastor is. Yes, especially when the anointing hits, because how many of you know the anointing destroys a yoke? Amen. As they keep coming in, ushers, just make more room. Amen. I love it. We're about to where we can expand to a whole nother side over there. Amen, on a Tuesday night. Look at this with me, Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon, not weapons. Everybody see that? I want to make sure that over the past two Tuesday nights, I had to get you to realize that there's things that the enemy is trying to tell you. He's hitting you with many things, but really, he's got one. One that's designed to take you out. But no weapon formed against me, against you, shall prosper. Now, how many of you feel like sometimes it prospers? Be truthful in church. Don't lie in church. I cast out that lying spirit already. Y'all don't want me to get me started already. No. How many of you realize that if the word is the word, then we got to stand on it? Look at somebody say, stand on it. Having done all I can do, I just stand. I put on the armor of God, but when I've done that, I stand. What do I stand in? I stand in the gospel of peace, don't I, Stephanie? I stand with my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. I pulled my boots tight, and I'm ready on the word. But tonight, I got to get us to realize something, because you have something in your arsenal that is meant to not only take the enemy out, but to fend the enemy off. Are you ready? When you see this scripture, it says not only is it formed and it won't prosper, but every tongue that even rises against me is going to fall. You see that there? And judgment, he's going to condemn, because this is the heritage. Look at somebody say, I got a will. I got a heritage. How many of you realize you're a child of God? Well, that was two of you. I don't know about the rest of you. How many of you realize you're a child of God? You have been adopted. You have been grafted in, is what the word says. You're tied into the vine. He took you and brought you from where you were and brought him to where he is. Oh, my goodness. Some of y'all in here know where you've been from. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. Some of y'all in here, you ashamed of. And the truth is, I'm not ashamed of where I've been. And if I could go back, I wouldn't change anything. It's made me who I am today. I've learned to grow and mature in Christ to beat the enemy. How many of y'all love to just put him at his own game and give him the... No, y'all ain't going to help me. It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness of me, says the Lord. It's not you speaking. This is God speaking to you, saying that no weapon formed against you. So, you know, I had to go here because the Lord really began to deal with me about something. And tonight I want to show you about the sword of the Spirit. And what you have to realize is that for as much as God gives you, there's a counterfeit that the enemy tries to use. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all not saying a word. When you look at that scripture and it says no weapon formed against you, has anybody ever watched the old medieval movies, the old war movies of the old times? And they would actually say, I've got to fashion you the right sword. So every time I see this, I see an iron worker inside heating the fire up and blowing the fire hotter and hotter and taking the steel and beginning to take the steel, and he heats it up and he pulls it out, and what does he do? He beats on it. He tempers it. Do you understand that the enemy is constantly forming, tempering a weapon to take you out? And for many of us here, as you grow and mature in the Lord, he can't use the weapon he used yesterday. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing right now. What used to get you don't work anymore. No, well, if you're a true Christian, it don't work on you anymore. If God's done a change in your heart, it don't work on you anymore. Oh, no, see, where your eyes used to be on things that ain't supposed to be, now your eyes are fixed on Christ instead of where... No, y'all ain't going to help me. The things you used to listen to, now you're listening to the voice of God, is because you've matured, you've grown. If you was here Sunday, you've grown from glory to glory, from level to level. You're not where you were, and somebody ought to rejoice in that. Some of us in here need to realize you need to rejoice, man. When you get a victory, you need to rejoice. That means you beat something that was you were not supposed to be able to beat. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with something bigger than us. So when we win, we should rejoice. I don't know about anybody else, but whenever I watch anger die in my life, oh, y'all ain't going to help me. I used to be one of the most angry. That's all I'm going to say. And when God got a hold of me, he had to actually crucify that in me, because it's a work of the flesh. You can't cast it out. You got to kill it. And the only way you kill it is mature. Look at somebody and poke them nicely and go, you better grow up. Be nice. Some of y'all right now are just like trying to be really harsh on somebody next to you. No. We got to grow. Look at somebody and say, grow. Listen, I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not growing. How many of y'all want to grow? How many of you tired of the same old, same old? See, every day I wake up, I want to experience more of his glory. Every day I wake up, even though the world is loud, I still want to be able to pick out his still small voice. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. And tonight I got to show you something that is literally one of the most awesome things you'll ever have in your life. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Are y'all ready for this? Two of you. Well, the rest of you, I don't know. You'll figure it out as we get going here. Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Isn't it funny the helmet goes on your head? Isn't it funny that he calls it the helmet of salvation? Because many of us need to get our mind saved. Oh, never mind. We'll just go away. Because as a man thinks, don't make me preach that tonight. And take the helmet of salvation, and then take up what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? Isn't it funny, over the past 3 weeks, the Lord has been taking us every time back to the Word. Why is it that God has taken us back to the Word over and over again? He's expanding himself through the Word, and you've got to realize that the Word is the only thing that defeats the enemy. No, y'all ain't going to say nothing. You can go ahead and rebuke him in Jesus' name over and over again, and he'll go. But if you don't have a word to stand on, he'll be back. And when he comes back, he's worked on his weapon a little bit more than what he did the last time he came. How many of y'all know that to be true? How many of you said, in the name of Jesus, you got to go? And he left because the word says that he has to go. But he went and regrouped. He beat on his little weapon a little bit more to get you where he could. He sharpened it a little bit more. And when he came back, he wanted to see if he could poke you in an area of your armor that you wasn't ready for. But you see, this is made for two reasons. This is made for two reasons. The sword has two reasons why it's made. One is offense. Everybody looks at the sword of the Spirit, and the first thing you think of is offense. I can take it to the devil. But you have to realize the sword has two things it does. One, it attacks, but the others is called a parry. It's when you block. No, y'all need to hear this. Watch. The word of God is not just to go after the enemy. The word of God is also to block when he comes after you with his. How many of you realize that the word itself, y'all ain't going to help me. The word says in your praise will set up ambushes against the enemy. I take that word. And when I feel the enemy got something going on, I go ahead and praise God before. No, y'all ain't going to help me. No, see, all of us want to react when we're supposed to. In your life, you've got to learn as a Christian, God already knows everything that's coming your way. So if you're listening, he'll tell you. So then you have the ability to not only attack, but when the enemy comes, I can stand on the word and I can. How many of y'all in here ever had to take the word and run the enemy? Let me see your hands. Sickness tries to come into your body. What do you use? Oh, I know a lot of people just go, Lord, touch me, heal me. Lord, I know you can touch me and heal me. Yes, you're right. But when that symptom don't want to break over your life, I go to the word. Because the word is this. God said he looks over his word to what? Say it, to perfect it, to complete it. Do you understand? The Lord hears your prayers the first time you pray it. But what he's looking for is you to stand on his word so he can complete it. See, a lot of us in here, God's answering your prayers, but you're not getting the fullness of it. You're not getting everything that it's meant to be because you just pray, but you don't seal it. Man, when I pray, I make sure I got a word to hold on to. So that way, when I pray, I stand on the word, and then I can step back and let God be God and say, Lord, you said by your stripes that I would be healed. You said to call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and you would see them saved and healed. And every time I watch fevers break, cancer. No, y'all ain't going to say nothing in here right now. See, it's not just to attack. It's to also defend. You got to hear this word tonight. The enemy came in to attack and say, you got cancer. And when she came through the door and told me that, I said, that's the word from a doctor. But this is the word from the great physician. By his stripes, you are already healed. It was done on the whipping post when they run those whips across his back. By his stripes at that moment, you were healed. And I had to tell her that over and over again. Every time I seen her, she'll tell you, you're healed. In Jesus' name, you're healed. But the word says, no, y'all ain't going to help me. So not only was she fighting it, but you know what? One puts 1,000 to flight. What happens whenever you get two people wielding a sword? Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Yeah, see, some of us in here, when we're in the midst of battle, we want to run from God or we want to run from church people. Let's be honest, you just want to run from church. Amen, Pastor, preach it. And the truth is that you need somebody who's got theirs sharpened. No. Don't just go to anybody who says, well, you know, in the Bible it says this. No, I want to know where it says it. I need you to stand with me. I need you to stand beside me. No, you need to understand. There is some things that come your way you can't beat. You got to go to the one who can. And then you got to realize that God's going to send you others so that while you're recuperating, they're going to fend. Oh, y'all missed that. Y'all totally missed that, didn't you? Anybody ever been to the place where you couldn't even pray? Anybody ever been hit so hard you couldn't even pray? Anybody ever been hit so hard you couldn't even go to the Word? The enemy had you locked down, but then somebody came around. Somebody. No, y'all ain't gonna help me. Somebody the Lord sent. They came up beside you, and they came right to where you are, and they spoke a word over your life, and they began to fight while you could recuperate. No, y'all. So you got to realize that some of the things that's happening in your life right now, I know you're praying. I got a stack of prayer requests on my desk. But how many of us in here activate this word? I'm not just going to pray, but I'm going to stand on the word. Y'all got to catch this. Watch this. You say, Pastor, this is the third week on the word. It's because the Lord is trying to get you to see this. He's trying to get you to hold. No, listen. Don't expect Pastor to preach a word for you every time you come in just for you. It should be a confirmation. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. How many of y'all been listening to God? Don't raise your hand because you might embarrass yourself. How many of you took some quiet time? Well, when do I have quiet time with kids and a job and everything else? Don't ask me. Get up a little earlier. Go to bed a little later. Oh, no, see, we have excuses all day long, but God is not looking for excuses. He's just looking for you. And you know what? He's always speaking. It's just if you stop to hear him. That's good preaching, Pastor. Because the truth is, his word doesn't lie. He never slumbers nor sleeps. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, anybody ever had them 2 o'clock wake-up calls? Well, the Lord goes, get up. Why am I wide awake? Maybe it's insomnia. No, maybe it's a divine appointment. So instead of complaining about it, why don't you get up and listen? There's been some mornings at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, the Lord says, get up. And that's the most intense words that God has ever spoken to my life. It's the words that change your life. You say, Pastor, that's crazy. I love to sleep. I do too. Anybody here love to sleep? Anybody here love to eat? Don't lie in church. There's times when the Lord says, you're going to skip this meal. But Lord, you know my sugar. But Lord, you know. No. There's something that he wants to do. It could be just the thing to take you through the next trial. Now, you got to hear this. Watch this. When God speaks, he'll either speak through somebody, to you, or through the word. But every time, you can confirm it through the word. Don't you just listen to every jackleg on the corner that comes up to you and says, I got a word for you. No, you don't understand. I'm going to take this back to the word. How many of y'all are seeing this? Are you ready? Can I move on? Is everybody good? Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, because here's where I'm going to spend a lot of time, and I hope you're ready for this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is what? Quick. Say it. Say quick. Anybody ever been in the middle of a battle, and as soon as you got a word, it seemed like it stopped? Only one person? Anybody ever been in a place where I said, you know what, I've been in the most intense warfare by the enemy, and I said, Lord, I need you. And as soon as I sat down, I said, I need a word. And as soon as the Lord said, this is where you go, and as soon as I proclaimed it out of my mouth, it seemed like everything shut down. So you got to understand, the word is quick. How many of you need an answer? Don't lie in church. How many of you need an answer? Lord, I need some direction. I need, no. How many of you really need an answer? He's quick. but you're looking in the wrong place. Well, Pastor, how do I find it in the Word? What did He tell you? Sometimes He's only going to say one word, provision. Well, how do I look up provision? You got a phone? Google it. The Lord made it easy on you. I mean, we're living in a day now that you can sit there and go, hey, Google, give me scriptures on provision. Yeah, well, you better make sure that you check it out. But the Word is the Word. And as soon as you get a word, you know what happens? All of a sudden, the first thing that happens is you're going to find out here in a second is it shifts something in you first. No, you got to listen to Pastor. The Word is designed to shift you first. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You see it? And then of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wait a minute. So what you're trying to tell me, Pastor, is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, has the ability to do all of that in me? Yes. And this time, the sword's not actually being used on your enemy. It's being used on you. Oh. You're always looking at the sword of the Spirit against your enemy. But when's the last time you let the Word pierce you? It's powerful. It's quick. Anybody ever had to go through surgery? We thank God for anesthesia today, but it used to be a time where surgery had to be quick. Sharper than any two-edged sword. See, it's a reason why that they say it's two-edged, because a lot of time you have to move it in a way that it cuts one way, but you have to be able to cut the other way. Anybody ever been in a place where you let God move in one area of your life? It's why it's two-sided. Because it'll get the areas that you want to change in, but it always seems to uncover the areas that you don't want to deal with. Anybody ever been in that place? About the time that you think you're getting there, and all of a sudden, He uncovers something. See, I love the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, about the time that you think you're getting it together, He comes, oh, let me just pull the Band-Aid off of this. Let's get to this infection over here in your life, because you say you got it all together. You know you got it all together, so let's uncover this thing that you keep putting a Band-Aid over. Piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. See, I want to come here for a second because there's a reason. The enemy loves to play in your soul. I need to get you to understand your soul is your emotions, your feelings. How many of y'all in here, the first thing the enemy does when he hits you, he wants to get you to feel depressed? Y'all ain't say nothing. Or he wants you to get angry. Men, this is where the men get. Women, we get our feelings hurt. But most men, the first thing we do is rise up. We get mad. We get mad. And there's some women, that's the same. But you find that right here, the sword of the Spirit comes in and it divides this. I need you to catch this. Your spirit belongs to God. Those that worship Him in spirit and what? Truth. The Word. You see it? You see it? You hear it right there. And you find that the Word comes in and He says, you can't walk by your feelings in this area. I'm going to split it in half for you. Someone you care about. Y'all want me to go here? Someone you care about, the first thing that happens is that you care for them more than they care for themselves. And your emotions begin to override your spirit. You become an enabler. No, y'all got to hear this, because this is truth. You reach in and try to do things whenever you really can't, because they belong to God. You got to give it to God. So what happens is you in your soul, the enemy's duped you, played a trick on you, and he's stealing or taking away from the one that really needs it. See, we got to learn to allow the Word of God to cut that in two. No, y'all got to hear me. We got to allow the Word of God. Listen, there's times when you got to give. There's been some people that's in my life, the Lord said, you know what? You got to turn them over to the devil for the salvation of their soul. And that's the Word. That's hard, isn't it? You know why? It's because as long as you're in the way, y'all just got it, didn't you? I didn't even have to say it. There's times when you have to say, you know what, Lord? I cannot do this anymore. And you cast it to him and say, Lord, I cast my cares on you because you care for me. And I know you care for them, so that's why I'm letting go. No, y'all got to hear me. This has been burning in me for 3 weeks. 3 weeks I've been preparing for this. And he said, it's time for me to get you out of being emotional and learn to walk in the Spirit. Y'all know what the fruits of the Spirit are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Come on, keep going. Let's get to the one nobody wants to talk about. Long-suffering. Patience. See, y'all all good on the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, but y'all get down to the self-control. Patience, long-suffering, to suffer long. See, we want to walk in the flesh. We want Burger King. We want it our way. Come on, right now. How many of you want a way out right now? Don't lie in church. How many of us truthfully want to get a way out right now? No. You know what? I want to get out from under this bill right now. Right now would be nice. I want to get out of this relationship right now. Right now would be good. No, see, we got to realize the Word of God is trying to get us. The Word of God will cause you to come out. Guys, y'all got to hear me. It's why people come to church, and when the Word is preached under the anointing, it destroys a yoke. It breaks that thing around them, and they go, wait a minute. There's more to life than what I'm living right now. There is freedom where I used to be bound. There's joy where I used to be depressed. When the Word is preached under the anointing, you begin to see the dividing. You begin to realize there's hope because I got a God who can change things without even... He can speak one word and that's it. But yet we get so caught up in our emotions. See, God doesn't want to deal with you in your emotions. You say, why is that? Is because he's after your spirit. And when he works through your spirit and your spirit's stronger than your emotions, it's not hard to be in control and to have some self-control, is it? It's not hard to have some patience. It's not hard to actually go through some suffering, because how many of you know we all going to go through some suffering? The suffering brings patience. And if you were here Sunday, patience brings experience. How many of you know you've been through some stuff? Y'all could wave your hands and just go, yeah, I've been through some stuff. Hello? Do you understand? You're wanting a pastor to lay their hands on you and just cast that thing out of you, or get you, and you want to sit down with a counselor and you want to counsel that thing to death, and you want to do this and you want to do that. And God is saying the whole time, I've gave you something that can divide all of that right in front of you. You don't even have to spend all the money with a counselor when you got the Word, and the Word will show you, hey, when you begin to declare the Word, freedom comes. You have a problem with depression, he'll begin to show you that joy is like a good medicine. sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in. No, y'all ain't going to say nothing. See, you can't talk me out of it. I've got experience. Hello? Hello? So you see this right here. He said it's going to divide between spirit and soul. And then he goes on to say, even more than that, I'm going to actually show you the difference between joints and marrow. Some of y'all need to write this down. Your joints cause action. Your joints are movement. Think about it. If there was no joints, how would you move? You can't. So the actions in my life. Yes, Pastor had to look it up in the Greek to figure it out. Joints and marrow. Anybody know what marrow is? It's the stuff encased inside the bone. It's the inner workings. It's what you're made of. This is where, as you get older, the marrow begins to deteriorate and you get brittle bones. And things begin to happen in your life. And see, right here, listen, the Word comes in and says, I'm getting ready to come in and show you that the actions that you've been doing by spinning your wheels in areas of your life, I'm going to show you how to be strong and stand. See, the Word will come into your life, and in every action of your life, He'll begin to come in and cut and say, this is flesh, this is mine. Anybody ever been to a place where you were wearing yourself out and getting nowhere? Come on, be truthful. Anybody ever been in a place where you're spinning your wheels? And then, you know what happens when you get in that place? You start getting mad at people. And you start blaming people. And if you have spouses, that's the first one you get a hold of. And if you have kids, that's the next one you roll it over on. And if you're in ministry, the church becomes the next one you roll it over. No, y'all ain't saying nothing. Because what happened is that there has been a shift in allowing the Word of God to put you where you need to be. See, you have to understand, the Word says, I need to walk worthy of the calling of God. He comes in and He says, look, this is the path I laid before you. It's straight and it's narrow, and the only way you make it through is following me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, I need you to take your word and I need you to cut the things out of my life that draws me somewhere else and keep me in the place I need to be. Man, I need some help up in here. How many of you in here want the Word of God to cut you and begin to get you into the place where you're not going off on a tangent, you're not going off on a rabbit trail, but what you've done is set your eyes on Christ and you're beginning to move in what He's called you to move, because you know what? One step in God brings a miracle. Every step that I take for the Lord, there's a miracle attached to that. It may not be for me, but it could be for somebody else. You don't believe me? He'll divinely set you up to be around people that you didn't even set yourself up to be around. You ain't saying nothing. You'll walk into a place and that person will go, you're just what I need. You ain't saying nothing. Could be just a phone call that somebody needed that day, because the enemy had done been in their mind and had done been all up in there. And their soul was in charge. But one word that God spoke through you shifted their whole... No, y'all ain't going to help me. Y'all ain't going to help me one bit. But you see, the Word will come into your life and begin to cut those things off. The actions, the things that would cause you to want to get out of the will of God and put you in the will of God. And then it will bring strength even to you. Listen, do you understand that in Psalms it says that a righteous man's bones will not break? Not even one bone of a righteous man will be broken. I said, Lord, does that mean physically? Because I know a lot of us here, we broke bones. Anybody ever broke a bone? So I guess you're unrighteous. I need to quit preaching about it. No. How many of you realize He's not just speaking about your physical body? You're the body of Christ. Do you understand what He's saying? He's saying we're fitly joined together. Oh, y'all got to catch this. You got to catch this. You're not going to look at someone who's a finger and say, well, you're no good because I'm a toe. Because there's some people that's made to help walk. There's some people that's made to actually do. There's some people who's made to actually think. There's people who are made to actually speak. There's people who just need to sit down and have a gift of listening. No, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. See, we look at the body and we go, listen, if we're living right, we're fitly joined together. You understand this? If the head is right, if you've got a head that's right, the rest of the body will begin to come into place. See, can I help you? There's alignment coming to the church. And what he's doing is he's rallying. It reminds me of the valley of dry bones. Oh, can I just preach here for just a second? Because I got to talk about this. He sets the man of God down in a valley of dry bones, and the first thing God says is, can these bones live? And I love what he says. Out of his soul, he says, well, only you know, Lord. How many of you ever been to the place where the Lord says, did you know that this could happen? Anybody ever been there? My father-in-law can tell you, you're going to move to Panama and be a missionary. You kidding, right? It's good here. It's good here. I got a house. I got it all set up. Pack up and leave. Sell it all. Go. Y'all want that anointing? There's some of y'all going, yeah, and there's a lot of us going, no, we're good. And he looks at it and he says, Lord, only you know that. And the Lord says, well, then, since I know it and I'm the Word, you declare it. No, y'all got to hear this. The Lord has already given you the Word, but the problem is you haven't been declaring it. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. So what are you loosing? What are you binding? Is this helping you? You've got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God in you. And he looks at him and says, now you declare what I've given you. And when he does, what happens? The bones begin to rattle. Can I help you? There's some rattling going on in the church right now. No, y'all got to hear me. Over the past couple of years, you begin to hear the church begin to rattle a little bit. We can talk about politics. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. I call it the Spirit of God waking up the church, because it says in the last days that men will wax cold. I believe as much as the wind that we begin to wax cold, God's trying to stir up. Do you understand? You stir things up in order to get it to come to the top so he can sweep. No, y'all ain't going to help me. The Word of God is coming alive. Revelation Word is coming alive. And until it comes alive in your life and you speak it, then you're going to be one of those dead, dry bones. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm poking you with the Word. I'm instigating you with the Word of God tonight. Anybody feel a little poke going on right now? I'm poking you. Yes, goosebumps are just a side effect. And the bones begin to rattle, and then they begin to come together. Then they stand up. I don't know about anybody else. I am so ready for the church to begin to rise up and be what it's called to be. Listen, we are a sleeping giant that needs to wake up. I just pray that soon and very soon, that as men of God and women of God preach the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit is released, that churches will begin to wake up. We won't be able to keep them out. They'll be busting the doors to get in. It doesn't matter. Listen, you need to catch a hold of this. It won't matter who's in the pulpit, because the anointing will be in the pulpit. And they stood up, and the next thing that the Lord said was, prophesy, breath. The church is standing, but is it really alive? I know people who come to church every Sunday and sit on a pew. I don't know if they're alive or not. See, the Word tells me to judge people by their fruits. I can't judge them. I just judge them by their fruits. If you walk in, look like you lost your best. I ain't saying you don't go through bad times, but when you live in a place, come on, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. Hello. Hello. When you get to the place where you look at people and you give them word and you keep feeding them and you keep feeding them, but you don't see no growth. Can I just say what you are? You're stinky dead. I'm just going to speak truth. And the only thing that wakes you up is the breath of God. The Spirit of God is the only... You can be saved. But the Word says you got to be wooed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit begins to pull you and go, there's so much more than what you're living in right now. There's so much more than what you're experiencing right now. See, every time you come to church here, you say, Pastor, why is it when I leave here I'm just a little bit more jacked up than the way I was? Is because all I did was allow the Holy Spirit to come in you and just pull you a little closer. See, I don't know about anybody else, but every time I come to church with you, I have expectancy we're getting closer to Him. And in my quiet time, I prepare myself to be close. No, y'all ain't going to help me. See, in my personal time, I prepare myself to have clean hands and a clean heart. In my personal time, I dig and go, Lord, what is it you want to say? What is it you want to do? And then when we all get together, the Lord looks over and goes, I see expectancy in the house. I see hope rising up in the house. And what I want to do is meet them right where they are. You see it there? Joints and marrow. Now watch this. Watch this. I want to help you. How many of y'all have some stuff going on in your head? Oh, I got some people that's truthful in church. Anybody ever get to the place where you start moving forward in God and the enemy comes and said, you know what? You're not worthy of that. Oh, if they only knew where you came from. I laugh at the devil when he tries to remind me of my past because I look at him and say, well, let me remind you of your future. Every time he tries to come in and throw my past in my face, I say, well, let me just remind you. The Lord don't remember me that way. But I got news for you. I know where you're spending the rest of eternity. And I know where I'm spending the rest of eternity. Isn't it funny that the Word all of a sudden breaks that? It says right there that then it becomes the discerner of thoughts. Can I help you? Maybe the problem you got in your head is because you have no word to cast it out. David said, I meditate on your word day and night, and I hide those things in my heart. Watch this, watch this. How many of us really dig in the Word? Well, Pastor, you're supposed to. Listen, I didn't learn this from being a pastor. I learned it for trying to be a Christian. Can I help you? I didn't learn this so I could preach it to you. I'm preaching what I've already learned. By example, by experience, I can stand in front of you and tell you I used to be tormented in my mind. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I ran to every altar, and I ran to every meeting I could get into. I tried to find Benny Hinn's, and I tried to find everybody I could get to get this thing to shut up and move on. And then there was one time when I was by myself, the Lord said, it's in my word, it's not in a man. And I turned myself to the Word, and when I went to the Word, it said I could have the mind of Christ. I could put on the helmet of salvation. I can think on these things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report. No, y'all got to hear me. See, what happened was is I quit letting the enemy play on my playground. I kicked him off my swings. Y'all okay? I tore the seesaw out to where he could come in and be higher than me and then me higher than him. No, I took it out and I allowed God to put himself in the middle of it so I could reign with him in heavenly places. I began to fill my mind before I was ever a pastor. I was a 19-year-old teenager. Sitting in my 1966 Fury 2 car in the parking lot of a high school. It wasn't cool to have a classic car then. I made it cool. And in that old car, every morning I would meet Jesus before high school. That's where I learned that it didn't take a preacher to show me how. It took a preacher to confirm what I was supposed to get. It showed me where I need to mature and grow in the things of God. And that God was preparing me and preparing others to do it. And what happened was that we've lost this. It's why the Lord said, get back to my word. Because I want to cast the enemy out of your mind by filling your head full of the word. Jesus defeated Satan with the word. Do not test the Lord thy God. Man shall not live by bread alone. I rebuke you, Satan. Worship the Lord thy God only. You understand, the word is the only thing that defeats the enemy. So why would you not want to fill your head full of the word? Pastor, I can't read my Bible. They got apps that'll read it for you. Get out of your laziness. Drive down the road and put the Bible on. I promise you, whether you're reading it or whether you're listening to it, the something in that word will come alive to you because it's the Spirit of God, and it will be just what you need to take you through that day, take you through your circumstance, take you through to your healing, take you through to your miracle, take you through to your deliverance. Whatever it is, it's right there. Problem is, we're too lazy to dig. It will cause discernment of thoughts. But then it even goes to the, now watch this. The what? The intents. The intentions of the heart. Can I just help everybody here? Can I help you? Do you want this? Can I give it to you? So as a man thinks he is in his heart, and out of his heart, the word says your mouth speaks. And then the word says that out of your mouth comes life and death, blessings and cursings. Can I help you? Can I help you? Get your head right. Get your head filled with the word. Because about the time the enemy tries to come in and dupe you and try to get something to plant in your heart, guys, please listen to me. Please listen to me. The enemy will put a seed in your mind, but your heart is fertile ground. You let one person offend you. You don't want me to go here. Let one person offend you. If you do not cast down every vain imagination, you see, Pastor, you went back to the word again. You got to cast down every vain imagination that sets itself up against the word of God. Are you hearing this? And if you don't deal with it before it hits your heart, once it hits your heart gets broken, don't it? Anybody here ever had a broken heart? I'll tell you what happens out of a broken heart. You make some very bad decisions. Someone breaks your heart, first thing you do is jump in a relationship with somebody else you know you would never jump in a relationship with. Speak truth. I will. Especially in Georgetown because, you know, people go from worse to worse. To worse. Instead of waiting, ladies, for your Boaz. Men waiting for your Ruth. Just selling for whatever. No, y'all need to hear, Pastor. I'm going to speak truth to you. Are you ready? Because of your hurt and the offense and the broken part of your heart, it puts you in a place. But you know what? The word comes back and says that Jesus said, I've come to mend the brokenhearted. Can I help you? That's your second chance. Come on, guys. Y'all got to catch what Pastor's saying. Because the Holy Spirit hit y'all on Sunday morning. There was an altar full of people with a broken heart up here. And he was mending hearts Sunday morning. He was reaching inside of people and taking out a heart of stone and beginning to put in a heart of flesh. That's your word again. Because you know what? He'll take the broken things of your life, and he don't just fix it. He replaces it with new. That's why David can say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Boy, you guys are learning. Even to the intentions of my heart. Do you understand that? If I can't get it stopped here and it hits here, I got one who can come back and mend it. Because what happens is once it comes out of this, once it comes out of this, you've spoken something into the atmosphere. The same thing you declared to the bones to come alive, you've now cursed or blessed in one way or another. Y'all got to hear me. It's why when you get mad, you say things you don't want to say. Anybody ever been in a place where you got mad and the next thing you know, you had some, never mind. Some beep, beep, to beep, beep. Some things that you know wasn't right come out. It's because you haven't dealt with the hurt on the inside. See, what happens is when you get a spouse who turns around and does that to their other spouse, there's an offense that happened there. Oh, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. What happens is that when you had that happen inside of your family and family members, there was an offense that somebody didn't deal with. And what's happened is it's let a root of bitterness to come into your life and dig down in you. And listen, roots of bitterness have to be dug out. The word comes in and begins to how do I deal with bitterness? Jesus said it best. In the Word, he says, if you have aught with your brother, go to them first. I don't want to do that. Because the Lord said this. Why would you come to me first when you're carrying aught against the one that I created? See, what you don't understand is God looks at his creation as his creation. And when creation has a fault with creation, the Lord says, that needs to be fixed. Then you come to me. And then he turns around and says, for those of you that want an excuse, anybody here ever use an excuse? Well, I went to that person, it got worse. Anybody ever been in a place where it got worse? See, I go back to the word again. It says, if I go to them, it didn't get fixed, I take somebody with me. But I don't take my buddy who's going to take my side. No, oh, y'all ain't going to help me up in here. No, we don't need nobody, okay, ganging up on somebody else. I would advise you to take a man or woman of God with you who will not take sides but be the mouthpiece of God. Because not everybody's your buddy. And if that don't fix it, then you go to the church. Is everybody catching this? See, everybody likes to take the word and pull out what they want to pull out, but really the word moves in a sequence of order because our God is a God of order. The enemy is the author of confusion. Can y'all handle another one? Is everybody doing good? I know I'm just teaching, but you okay? Go to John. John 14:26. I got just a few minutes. Is everybody all right? Do y'all want some more or not? You do? John 14:26. Y'all look like a bunch of sponges out there. You're just sucking up the word tonight. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he had to make sure you understood who that was. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. You say, Pastor, what is that? I'm going to help you. You got a coach. Anybody ever had a coach in their life? Anybody ever play sports? Anybody ever have a coach that was in your life that helped you work through some things? You had some life skills coaches. Maybe some of y'all had some coaches that came in and just said, you know what? You're going to go through this process and we're going to coach you through it. Sometimes you have to go in before you have an operation. You have a pre-op. They coach you through what's getting ready to happen. No, y'all ain't going to help me. Okay. It's to bring you to a place where you have wisdom. No, y'all got to catch this. It's to bring you to a place to have wisdom to go through it. The Holy Spirit will take you, which is, again, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit comes in, ignites the Word in your life, and coaches you through. You see it? How many of you ever been to the place where you haven't read your Bible in a while, but you can remember John 3:16? No, y'all ain't been there. Been to the place where you was all out in the world, and then when your world crashed around you because, you know, sin's only fun for a season. And some of y'all had some real fun during that season. But then everything crashed down around you. And the only thing you could remember was, I don't even remember that scripture, but I just know God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him, you fall on your knees. It's the only scripture you knew. You didn't know Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess out of your mouth. Believe He was raised from the dead, you'd be saved. Couldn't remember those words. But that one word the Holy Spirit brought back, even though you were living, I ain't gonna like what I say, even though you were living like a hellion, we know we've all been there. Some of us just like dabbing our foot back in. And you get the same result. Oop, that was hot. Oop, I did it again. And the truth is, she's learned too because her daddy's a pastor. The Holy Spirit will begin to remind you of things. When you're in the middle of a test and you can't crack open your Bible and you can't pray, is when the Holy Spirit comes in and you hear, I will never leave you or forsake you. No, some of y'all need to hear me. Anybody ever been to a place where it seemed like everything was just wrong and nobody wanted you? I should get my father-in-law to stand up and sing the worm song. Everybody hates me. And all of a sudden, you hear that voice begin to say, but I said I would never leave you or forsake you. You begin to hear that thing roll back around in you again, and all of a sudden, your spirit begins to come back alive again. It's because the Holy Spirit will take the Word and just begin to pull and remind you. All of a sudden, you'll remember a word a pastor preached. You'll remember a word mama gave you. Remember a word your daddy, your grandma spoke over your life. And the Holy Spirit will begin to just pull you right back again. Are you understanding how the Spirit of God works? Are you seeing how the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, begins to come alive? Can you handle one more? Are you sure? John 17:17. Watch this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Because your word is truth. This is Jesus. What he was praying was this. He said, Lord, I pray you don't take them out of this world. I pray you leave them in here. Look at somebody and say, you're here because he wants you here. If not, you wouldn't be here. I have people look at me and say, why am I here? And I look at them and say, because he wants you here. What else do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to lie. You know what God has for your life. I don't. Sanctify. It means to set apart, to consecrate. What he said was this, Lord, I'm praying, Father, that your word will begin to separate them. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Are y'all hearing me right now? See, what you got to realize is, why are you acting like the world when Jesus said, you're in it, but you're not of it? You have an inheritance with me in eternity, in glory, me and you together. You're here because I have you here doing what I asked you to do. You're on a mission for me. He said, Father, sanctify them, separate them, consecrate them. Can I help you? What God's trying to do is trying to get us to realize the Word of God is setting us to an example to live right. Not perfect. How many of y'all are perfect? I'll never be perfect. But every day I serve the one who was. Every day I wake up and I strive to be like Him. Hello. It's what Christian means, a little Christ. I haven't arrived. I haven't grown up to be Him. I'm just a guy who's trying to get my feet in His shoes and walk the way He walks. Hello. He said, separate. Father, take the word and separate them. We're going to know them by their fruit. We're going to know them by their zeal, the passion. I gave this scripture to the men today, and I'm going to read it. You ready? Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Watch this scripture right here. I sent it out to all the men's group today because the Lord told me to, and then tonight He said, you got to add this in. For we are not as many. Can I help you? Do you look like a sinner? Do you act like a sinner? Oh, y'all got to hear me. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Anybody ever been to the place where you've been around somebody who calls himself a Christian? No, don't you raise your hand. Nobody raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't even give me a look. Everything out of their mouth is Jesus, Jesus, this, this, the word, word. But yet around you, you know their lifestyle. One minute they're hitting on you. No, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all watch this. Or they're wanting you to do something that's not right, but using the word to corrupt you. Here you find the man of God speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's saying, we're not as they are. We're not corrupt. We're living it. Can I help just everybody here listen to me, please? I would rather you be 100% after God or 100% in the world. Because even the Father says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm just going to spit you out of my mouth. Can I help you? How many of us realize that what God's after is all of you, not a piece of you? He don't want a piece of you. He wants everything you got. He wants all that you are. And He made you the way you are, so He knows what you got. Look at this. We're not as them, corrupting the word of God, but watch. But we are as of sincerity. Can I break that word down for you? Clearness. Purity. How many of you realize for something to get pure, you got to filter it? How do I filter it? Through the Word. You see it? When's the last time you stood in front of the mirror and took the Word and just checked yourself? Now, y'all ain't going to help me, are you? What does the Word say about living holy? You don't want me to go there because I could scripture after scripture. Because I stand in front of the mirror and I do that. Hello? We're not as them. We're separate. We're consecrated. Look at this. But as of God, in the sight of God, we speak, we in Christ. He said, listen, what comes out of my mouth is what we know to be true, not something we're just trying to. You ever know people that get in a group of Christians and then they want to act like a Christian? No, be real. That's one thing I can say about this church right here. We're real. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't put on a mask, and when people get around me with a mask, it don't stay on very long. Hello? It's because the Word is trying to do something in your life. You learn how to pick up the shield of faith. You learn how to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. You learn how to prepare yourself to stand on the Word, but have you ignited the Word? See, I want to get around some people that say, Pastor, I need some help. Can you help me find scriptures on what I'm going through? You just made my day. I love it. Hello, somebody. But what happens is that we would rather sit back. And when you sit back, you get no power. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged. Are you catching this? Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here has an area in your life that you say, I need some scriptures on? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. I just had somebody come to me and say, Pastor, the Bible says that I can smoke pot. I'm just being serious. Can I be truthful with you? And I looked at him, I said, show me the scripture. Scripture? Well, God said, and I said, show me in the Word. Remember who you're talking to. I'm a pastor. This is my life. I'm not going to give you my opinions. I'm not going to give you my emotions. How many of y'all have ever sat down with me? I had people look at me and say, I need your opinion on this. No, you don't. You don't want my opinion. Okay? And I tell people all the time, I said, listen, you know, if you call me Eric, you get Eric. I'm a pastor. Okay, so if you call me Eric, then that's what you get. I shake your hand, go, hey, what's up? But when you call me who I am, then I can step away from that and I go, Lord, this is yours. Are you understanding? Listen, you got to get to the place where the Word comes first. It shouldn't be your last resort, Stephanie. Is everybody understanding? Because I'm about done, but I got to get this across because this is the third Tuesday night that the Lord has said, please get to them that they have to reach out to me. Pastor, you can't do it for them. We're going to be people of the Word. Now, if you can't find it, I'll help you find it. Guy looked at me and he goes, well, can you find me some scriptures on smoking pot? I said, I can find you a lot of scriptures on not to smoke pot. I can find you a lot. And I had another one come to me and said, drinking's okay. And I looked at him, I said, okay, that's fine. I said, let's sit down and we'll compare scriptures. And then people want to throw the scripture up to me and says, well, I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't go good. Is everybody understanding that the Word of God? It's the one thing that you have that's tangible. Y'all miss that. You can lift up the shield of faith. This one's in my hand. Are you hearing me? It'd be like going to war and not carrying anything. Are you understanding that in your life, God made this tangible for you? Guys, please listen to me. People say all the time, how can you believe in a God that you can't see? And I look at them, I go, what do you mean I can't see? He's right there. The air that you're breathing right now, Genesis chapter 1. Breaking depression, besides having to use Zoloft and a lot of other things. dealing with fear? Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. People look at me all the time and say, where's there a proof that there's a God? And I look at them and say, what other proof do you need? If NASA had to go to a Bible to figure out how to shoot the first one out of orbit, you better believe. Because every time their calculations, they were off a day. How many of you remember there was a story where for one whole day, the sun didn't go down. And they had to recalculate according to the Word of God. How many of y'all realize it's powerful? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that right now people will begin to hunger for your word. But I pray that they pick up the sword. Lord, tonight, I just pray that every word that came out of my mouth, Lord, that, Lord, it's your will and it's your way, and that it penetrates. Lord, it cuts and divides asunder. Lord, I pray for those that are even watching tonight, that, Lord, there's many that couldn't make it because they're battling so hard. I pray that right now the Spirit of God and the word that's been loosed tonight will free them right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, tonight, we want to be Christians. We don't want to be, as of they are, peddlers, deceitful, but we want to be real. We want to be everything that you've called us to be. And Lord, we thank you that your word is taking us so much deeper in you to know you. And Holy Spirit, you are causing it to come to our remembrance. You're causing us to get it. We thank you for moving in our lives tonight. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. How many of y'all got something out of that word tonight? How many of y'all going to ignite the word? Listen, I know many of us in here, who in here does not have a Bible? Is there anybody, you don't have a Bible? You've never had a personal Bible? Need one? You need one, bro? You've never had one. You need one. Who else needs one? Don't be ashamed. You need one. You need one. Glory to God. I love it. Listen, that's not a prideful thing. Because what you're missing is you're missing power. Amen? You know what? You'll have a Bible Sunday. How many of y'all, out of those four that lifted your hands, you'll be here Sunday? Promise me you'll be here Sunday. Best of your ability. Okay? Sunday. I will have you a Bible Sunday when you come in this door. Okay? Where's my wife? Honey, four Bibles by Sunday. Okay? Not junk. Sorry, Bible's never junk, but they're going to be nice. Anybody else you've never had a word? Wow. And guys, we take it for granted. Because you know what? We were sitting there today, me and my father-in-law, and he says, you know what? I've got to find some interlinear Bibles. I got to find some in the language that we're ministering in. And he had to go online to search for his to come and order them to come in. We can go to the dollar store and pick up one. We take it for granted, the word. Amen. But I can promise you this, yours won't be a dollar Bible, okay? Amen? Because what I want to place in your life, and you know what? I'm going to do something Sunday, okay? For those four of y'all, okay, I'm going to sign them and give them to you. But I'm going to pray over those Bibles. I'm going to pick them up and pray over them. You want one? Your grandson. I need to get him one before he leaves. When does he leave? Sunday? That's five. So, honey, I need a kid's Bible. I think she just went to the back. Okay? Amen. All hearts clear tonight? How many of y'all enjoyed the word? It's more of a teaching tonight. I laid back on you guys a little bit compared to last Tuesday night. You guys couldn't even get out of here. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Ushers have in their hands, they have a tithing envelope. They also have a prayer card. Guys, this Sunday is going to be a very awesome service. You do not want to miss this Sunday, okay? Because this Sunday is going to be our kickoff for missions, okay? It's not by accident. My father-in-law is in from Panama. Their mission is phenomenal. And you know what? I've done made up my mind that by the end of next year, I'm going to be there. I want to go. So, Dad, you get ready to put us up in that big house you just got. Yep. What you don't know is he just got blessed. Miss Mary Beth said, everybody. So it's about $400 a plane ticket, so if that's what you're thinking. And it's a, what, 12-hour bus ride? 7-hour bus ride. So if you can handle being on the bus with me for 7 hours and earplugs. He does a lot of work, especially up in the mountains with different ones, and you'll get to see all that on Sunday. I'm cutting him loose. You do not want to miss this service on Sunday. Amen in the back. Well, we'll be watching online. Amen. All hearts clear tonight. You need a prayer card or a tithing envelope. Lift your hand quickly, and I'll let you go. Be praying also. School starts back in about a week and a half. All the parents are saying praise the Lord. You know, I will say this to everybody here. I know during the summer I lay back and we preach a little bit longer on Tuesday nights. During the school year, you will be out of here by 8:30, okay? Even if I got to cut one song off to allow God to move, do whatever he's got to do, but I promise you that you'll be out by 8:30 to get your kids in the bed. Amen? Anybody else? Prayer card, tithing envelope? I'll give you just a minute to fill those out. Hallelujah. Yes. You just beat me to it, son. Water baptism. If you missed the last water baptism, we had 13 people get water baptized out of 25. I've got about 12 more on that list to get baptized, and now I got 2 more on the list. If you want to be water baptized, then please, before you leave here tonight, on the Welcome Center, there is a sign-up sheet. If God has done something in your life in this house within the past couple of months, and maybe you were baptized before, but you say, you know what, I just wasn't living it, but now I am, and you want to be water baptized, get your name on that list. Because what we're going to do is, I'm going to do just like I did last time. I got a big inflatable pool I'm going to put right out here in the front of Georgetown. We're not going to the beach. We're not going to a pool to hide. We're going to do it right here in front of everybody in Georgetown. Because to be water baptized is another step that you need to take. Amen. It's telling the world, I'm laying down my old things. They're dead. When I come up, I'm following Christ. So if you want to do that, get your name on that list tonight. Absolutely tonight. Okay? Amen. Was there any other? Y'all just came out of the women's last Saturday. Women had a great time. Men, we had all the teenage boys with us. Amen. Amen. I think that's all the announcements I've got for tonight. Ushers, if you go ahead and bring those buckets up, we'll pray and I'll let you go. You guys are quiet tonight. How many of y'all are going through some things? I kind of, you could feel it in the air. Can I speak something to you? Or everybody just raise your hand. Look at Pastor. Look at Pastor. This battle is not yours. Now, you hold on to that word. It's the Lord's. Now, if you take it out of his hands, it's yours. Okay? But for every person that just raised their hand, if we're going to stand on the word, we're going to stand on the word. Amen? And what I want to tell you is this. Again, he said he would never leave you or forsake you. And some of you, I know it's actually financial. And all I'm going to say is this. He said he'd never see the righteous begging for bread. Amen? So there's many of you in here just need to stand on the word. If you don't have word, can't find it, find me. I'll get you some word till you choke on it. If you know, Pastor, listen, Miss Mary Ann's like, Pastor, we need to get a word. Okay, and you end up getting 2 pages full of scriptures. Prayer team on Thursday night knows well, right? So we got prayer Thursday night at 7:30, Sunday morning 10:30. Amen. Y'all ready to pray? Lift up your cards. Lift up your prayer requests. Lift up your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let's pray and I'll let you go. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. Oh, God, we thank you for your word so much. We thank you, Lord, that it will set us free. That, Lord, it will divide things. It will cause the enemy to run. And, Lord, tonight we stand upon it. Lord, I just pray that every person that has heaviness, every person that's fighting right now, that, Lord, your word will come alive. You said morning may last for the night. Lord, I pray that tomorrow, I pray that by tomorrow morning, that God, you will cause joy to spring forth, new life. Father God, we thank you for actions. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for things coming to manifest that have been holding back. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you are the God that's always on time. And Lord, we praise you for it. We surrender all these things to you tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. I'll see you Thursday night, or Sunday morning at 10:30 next Tuesday night. Y'all better be ready Sunday morning. Y'all are going to have a good time in the house. Amen. We love you. Until then, God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Need something, give us a call. We'll be right here at the church. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you've made a decision to follow Christ, we rejoice with you. Please let us know by contacting us at Beach Family Worship Center, Georgetown Campus on Facebook. And we invite you to catch our next broadcast right here. See you soon.